Winter continues, and so does the partial government shutdown. We are now in month two of the longest United States government shutdown in history.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
So to begin with, I am going to look at the IRS. It seems that the Practitioner Priority Service is open, though there are issues with faxing to the IRS at this point. It is as of January 22nd that we have those issues, and we will see if there are further changes coming. Turning to the tax court, they canceled the trial scheduled for the week of February 11, and they will be making a decision on the week of February 25, on the day of February 7th or before. Now, the ABA tax section, the American Bar Association tax section, had their mid-year tax meeting in New Orleans as scheduled, but none of the IRS or other government workers were able to be there because of the government shutdown. But following the ABA meeting, the tax court scheduled a meeting, and according to their website, it states that on January 22, 2019, the tax court met with representatives from the American Bar Association's Section of Taxation, the Internal Revenue Service, low-income taxpayer clinics, and bar-sponsored pro bono programs to hear their concerns relating to the government shutdown. Now, what exactly that means for any decisions in the coming weeks or months, that is unclear, but it is good to know that they had this meeting, and potentially there will be some progress following the meeting. Since there haven't been too many updates on the federal front at this point, I'm going to turn my focus to state taxation. State taxation can be an issue because we have 50 states that have separate programs that may or may not even align with the federal income taxation program. For one thing, there are 7 states that have no personal income tax: Wyoming, Washington, Texas, South Dakota, Nevada, Florida, and Alaska. The other 43 states each have their separate personal income tax plans. Some are called the Department of Revenue, some have another name. I've mainly dealt with Kansas and Missouri, but I am going to do a little comparison and speak to what I would like to see happen within the states. Now, just as a reminder for what is in place for low-income taxpayers with the IRS, there is the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic program that is partially funded by the IRS. There is the currently not collectible status that if individuals can show they have a financial hardship, this may be by medical issues, maybe by unemployment, or just generally providing information about income and expenses, that if the individuals are not able to make their monthly payments, that they're showing that they have more expenses than income, they will likely qualify to be in the currently not collectible status. The IRS also allows for installment agreements up to 6 years, and they will waive the offer and compromise filing fee for low-income taxpayers. Doing a bit of comparison with the state of Missouri, they also call their settlement agreements an offer and compromise. They have a streamlined submission process for low-income taxpayers. They do have longer installment agreements if individuals can show they have that they are low income. And I believe it was last year I learned that there was a meeting that they would have with the Missouri Low Income Taxpayer Clinics. I was able to take part with that meeting, and they set up a email address for us to be able to send a email to them to discuss our clients that we have already gone through the process of certifying that they are low-income individuals. Now, at the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic conference, there was a panel about working with state tax departments, presented by the Indiana Low-Income Taxpayer Clinics, that in Indiana, there is an annual meeting with the Indiana Department of Revenue, a public forum where people can bring up their issues regarding state income tax. Now, in the past, the state accounting associations would generally just say the Department of Revenue is doing a good job and there wasn't much to the forums. But before, the low-income taxpayer clinics in Indiana gathered together as a unified front, and they were able to discuss issues that relate to income tax for their state taxpayers. Because it was a public forum and part of the public record within the state of Indiana, then that means the Department of Revenue is accountable, and they were able to follow up on specific tax issues for low-income clients that way. Now, one of the things that people need to be aware of, especially if they're in low-income taxpayer clinics, is that funding from the IRS and often other funding sources states that there can be no lobbying involved with the low-income taxpayer clinics. So that is one thing that a person needs to be careful in how they're handling, what they do for discussions with the State Department of Revenue or trying to bring change within the state's treatment of low-income taxpayers. So within clinics that the workers cannot be, you know, my understanding is that there cannot be lobbying to Congress or various government officials trying to change the laws, and there cannot be call to arms trying to drive various citizens to be lobbying or anything like that as well. One thing that I am trying to do is bring awareness to what is happening within the state of Kansas regarding the treatment of low-income taxpayers, and see by comparing what is happening on the federal or state level in other areas whether improved programs could be implemented. So I'm going to start with what is currently happening within the state of Kansas and then what I would like to see change. First of all, I had done a review of the Kansas statutes regarding income tax. To begin with, an individual will receive an assessment from the state regarding their income tax and potential liability, and that individual has 60 days to contest that liability. If that liability is not contested, then the state will see about getting a tax warrant. The tax warrant can lead to a lien on real estate. The state does not seize homes unless there are extreme circumstances that is trouble for the state to get into. The tax warrant can also lead to whether the state is levying on. What they can do is they can garnish wages, they can levy bank accounts, but the state of Kansas cannot garnish Social Security. So when they are levying bank accounts, they need to be careful that they're not levying an amount that is based on Social Security. That the state, when they are levying by garnishing wages, there is no statutory upper limit, so they could garnish 100% of an individual's wages that they are past due in owing the Kansas Department of Revenue. Now, there are some times that they have done 50%, but generally they would do 25% in garnished wages. They have 3 years to receive a tax warrant on an individual, and then there is a 10-year period from the filing of a tax warrant. Kansas also contracts with two third-party vendors to collection agencies that when a person is dealing with a collection agency trying to pay off the full amount, it's always worth remembering that there is a payment that the collection agency wants, so that drives up the total amount that the individual owes. I was also going to mention that there is a Kansas Bill of Rights for taxpayers that has some similarities to the IRS Taxpayer Bill of Rights, but I find that within Kansas, that Bill of Rights often seems to be pieces stating that the taxpayer has been given a correct billing amount, that they're not supposed to be paying more than what is assessed correctly, that they have a right to, that they have the right to go through a formal process. But to me, there are some issues with how the process goes. But I wanted to mention that the settlement amount, going through that with Kansas, they do not call it an offer in compromise. They call it a petition for abatement. Now, I think the first phase that a person should go through if they want to do a petition for abatement with Kansas is to get all of their income tax filing taken care of with the state of Kansas, because the substitute returns that may be set up within Kansas, those often drive the total amount. Next, the person would submit their petition for abatement. The state of Kansas reviews, and then the state of Kansas often does a counteroffer, and that is due within 30 days. Now, for some of my low-income clients, it may be 10% of what they owe, but it could be a larger amount in what they need to pay back to the state of Kansas. Now, what are some items that I would like to see set up that are available within other states or at the federal level that I do not see within Kansas? Well, if I was going to set up my entire wish list, I would start with a more formal communication process. The email address that I have with the state of Missouri is useful. The various ways of communicating within the IRS are useful. I would like to see if there is something comparable to the currently not collectible or financial hardship status that could be in place for clients. I would like to see if there could be longer installment agreements with the state of Kansas. And especially, I would like to see the waiver of the filing fee for submitting a petition for abatement. Currently, that is $50, and my low-income clients cannot pay that. It's my understanding that maybe that can be stated in the submission process, but it often seems to be that clients need to include their payment to have that petition for abatement reviewed. So overall, I am seeing what I can do to get the word out about some improvements I would like to see made within the state of Kansas, and what the current affairs are for collections within the state of Kansas. It is my feeling that either a person owes money to the state of Kansas or they do not, and there do not seem to be too many considerations given for low-income taxpayers. And I would argue that part of this, there is an economic incentive to give low-income taxpayers a break beyond just the positive emotional or moral issues regarding being kind to the poor or the elderly, that if an individual is not going to be able to pay the state of Kansas back, I do not think it is worth it to continue to try and collect from them if it's just not going to be financially happening for them. So I think for a certain level of individuals that the state of Kansas may be wasting money, if the individuals can show that they perhaps are at 125% of the poverty level or 250% of the poverty level as those who are dealing with at the low-income taxpayer clinics at the federal level. I think so long as a percentage is fair for all involved, that it makes sense that if an individual shows that they're at that level, that they should be treated in a way that makes sense in how collections deals with them, and it would be better if they could focus on the higher income clients in ways to collect from them. So hopefully this gives you something else to think about during the government shutdown, as we are still trying to figure out what levels of negotiation, communication, and customer service are available from the IRS during this tax season. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.